Welcome to the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. My name is Paul, and I'll be your host. I know that every podcast asks you to do this, but we would love it if you would rate and review this podcast on your podcast app. It really does help people connect with the content. This month, we're going to dive into part two of our interview with Susan Wells. She's written a book called A Place at My Table, which talks a little bit about her life story, as well as the power of hospitality in the life of a Christian. And so let's dive back into our discussion with Susan Wells on the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast. Well, one of the most powerful moments for me was trying to imagine what it was like when you met Doris, because I felt like that was almost a magical moment in the book. A relative who attends the same kind of church you do, I believe, is the way it was described.
I have to say the same kind
of church. Yeah, okay. Same kind of church that you do. What was that like? Was that like, I remember being in China many years ago and walking down the street and seeing another person who was Caucasian and thinking how fish out of water I felt. And was it kind of like that for you, feeling like you met someone else who understood you in a way that you weren't understood?
And to give a quick background, my grandparents had been visiting, which they rarely did, but at that point I had been going to church at times. If my father drank, it could be pretty bad. And my grandmother hears him swearing and cursing at me. I'm 14 years old, and she pulls me aside and tells me about this relative who goes to something kind. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I write to Doris. It's the day and age when you write. I'd never met her. I couldn't believe that my dad's cousin had a faith in Christ. So again, hop on the train, and I think it's the first time we've met. And so she's making me a proper cup of tea, and I guess I make reference to being so happy to have met her, and the tears just start to run down her cheeks. And she said, Susan, it's not the first time we've met. Mm. And we don't have time to talk about the strange circumstances of my birth, why I'm born in my dad's hometown, which I never went back to. She's there, a new Christian, and someone makes fun of her for her faith, and she goes into the darkened bedroom where I'm laying a few days old and thinks, I may never see this child again. What's ever going to happen to this child? And so what I love, again, in the midst of her pain and disappointment and embarrassment in front of the family, she's not making it about herself. And she picks me up and she said, I felt the Lord say I should pray for you. Mm. And she does the strangest thing. She says, I don't want anyone to catch me praying for you, so I hide you in the closet. And I think, if someone had walked in and found her hiding me in the closet, that would have just proved to them how nutty she was. So we do crazy things out of nervousness. But she said, I just pray God bring someone into Susan's life, so someday she'll come to know you. And she said, wow. I didn't know if I'd ever see you again. I prayed for you through the years. And in retrospect, that prayer was prophetic. I wasn't going to be allowed to go to the local Pentecostal church. I needed someone into my life.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you when you met Doris?
14. Hopped on the train.
Right.
Go to another province.
Were you making the connection at that time that, like, this is God being over the beginning and like God saw me at the beginning, God sees me now. Like, were you making that connection there? Like, that this is big. Like, God knew.
About a year before, I remember staring out the window, probably during math class in school, mm-hmm. thinking, yeah. God, how did you pick me? I don't know of any other family member who knows you. Mm-hmm. But I end up being there because there's a youth convention in Halifax, Nova Scotia, right. And I need a free place to stay. Mm-hmm. But I'm dying to meet this relative who would share my faith, but having no idea of the greater big picture and the answer to that question I asked God a year before.
Yeah, an incredible story to lean back on and to communicate to others just about, you know, God sees the beginning and the ending. He's not absent, right? He's there. It's our challenge sometimes and our struggle to see him there. But when he's revealed like that, what a powerful moment. What a powerful moment. You mentioned Annie McKnight and her simple act of hospitality towards you and the effect it had on you. You didn't talk a lot about her, but you said that this act of hospitality had a huge effect on you. What do you think the church in general, the Big C Church, needs to understand about the power of hospitality? Because when we talk about giving what we have, every one of us lives in a place, almost all of us listening live in a place that has a kitchen. We can we can gather around food. We can we have somewhere that we sit to watch TV. We have a living room. You know, every one of us has, almost every one of us listening would have that capacity. What do we need to understand about the power of hospitality?
We need to understand that God does way more than what we are able to do. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if you cook or not, if you feel comfortable with crowds or not, God does way more. And of course, in the book, I talk about all the specifics of what the dessert was and the tea was. So I'm mm-hmm. invited over at the age of 12 to Annie mm-hmm. McKnight's house, and this bigger, larger than life experience. Mm-hmm. And at the end, how she assures me that she always prays for me. Mm. But from the outside, it seemed that all that happened that day was a neighbor lady had a cup of tea with a 12-year-old child. Mm-hmm. But so much more happened than that. And sure. I clung to her words and they kept me through hard times. Someone's praying for mm-hmm. me. And I doubt that Annie McKnight ever thought about that cup of tea again mm-hmm. other than when she was praying for me. Mm-hmm. So let's stop looking at the meagerness of our resources, how small our place is. Are we embarrassed about mm-hmm. it? And think bigger picture. Pour in, pour in. Mm-hmm. Stop waiting for the big things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm reading this through some church history textbooks and in some of my education right now, and one of the quotes that came from one of the Roman politicians of the time in the first century church was his comment about Christians: see how they love one another, see how they're willing to die for one another, and just that simple power in just showing up and loving someone and the kindness that's extended is I think, and I know for me personally, much more powerful than anything that I can proclaim from my lips. Like any kind of crafted word I can come up with, any wisdom I can pull out of scripture, for me, it sits alongside the fact that I know that I can love someone by welcoming them in, by caring for them, by coming alongside of them. And the power of that as an outreach and evangelism tool. And you and I both know people who work across this world in international settings and in local settings whose ministry is to go into a place that doesn't have the light of Christ and just to be hospitable, right? And so I think that was the kind of the moral that I got out of that chapter, was just, again, the reinforcement of the power of hospitality and how powerful it can be in all these areas in our life, which kind of leads me to the next question. You said this statement again in the book. You said, carrying the fragrance of Christ means we bear his image wherever we go. So when you think of the image and the influence that you've been able to have, when you think of your husband, Dave, who's has a real passion for chaplaincy and has been able to be present in lots of athletic competitions, Olympics, and different things throughout the world over the last 20 or 30 years, I think, or maybe even 40 years he's been part of that. And you think about that influence of being an image bearer, as well as other people that have kind of probably crossed your path over your life. What do you think it means to be an image bearer?
I force myself into difficult situations and I get obsessed with saying the right words ahead of time mm-hmm. and, what am I doing here? And I have nothing in common with this person or these people. And so what the Lord keeps bringing me back to is, you're not that clever anyway, Susan. So he does remind me of that. But carry his presence and take it from there. So I kind of, in a way, I don't want to say set the bar low for myself. I don't have to be the perfect mm-hmm. purveyor of the gospel. So, but yet set the bar very high in the sense I'm walking with the presence of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I'll start with that and figure it out as I go along.
Yeah. And so does that open doors or does that empower you once you get through the door?
Someone mentioned to me about getting that I had gotten past the nervousness and all that kind of thing. I've never stopped freaking out.
Yeah.
And so my thing is, jump in and then take it from there.
Sure.
And I got to jump in and quit underestimating the power of the Holy Spirit. And I so depend on myself. And it's always like me helping God, right? And so I have to admit.
Thanks for that. Thanks for helping God.
Yeah. I mean, I try not to say that out loud, but it's so switch it. God's using me.
Right. And yet he's using you because you chose to show up. But let's full stop it there. We realize that no matter what talent or history we bring into a situation. It's the fact that we were willing to be there, that we were willing to be used. That's why God can use us in those situations. In chapter 10 of the book, in bold font, there are these words. We are supposed to be in over our heads. And we talked a little bit about this already, but what's the tension between living wisely and living safely? Like, we are supposed to be living faith-filled lives. We are supposed to be living lives where, you know, I've heard it described as we should be living lives where we're writing checks that the Holy Spirit's going to cash, right? Or things like that. And that sometimes that analogy maybe doesn't work completely. But what does it mean to live wisely as opposed to living safely? And I don't know, maybe you just want to talk a little bit about that.
I don't want to give the impression of live crazy on the edge.
Right, yeah.
But, so we're sitting here at Broadway Church. I have memories of down the street having Father's Day lunch with a mother and father with AIDS. The baby's not going to make it through the next day.
Wow.
Well, it was kind of on the edge because it was the day of you're not supposed to go in near anyone with AIDS,
sure.
right? But we're there at McDonald's because what's best for them? They came to church with us that morning. This area around, this physical area around the church, because we live farther away, if we could, it's filled with stories of just having dinner with people, having a coffee. So I don't know, how on the edge is that? I'm on the edge, I have to admit, on the inside wondering, what do I do when we run out of things to talk about?
Sure.
I have nothing in common
yeah.
with these people.
Yeah.
I recently, with a friend, went through a list of like swearing things that happened at the church, you know, because that's how people talk, right? One person said, do you know who Susan Wells is? And I sure, you know, so anyway, maybe I shouldn't get into that. But so stick to the simple stuff.
Yeah.
And trust God. And let's be frank that if we wait till we stop being scared, we're never going to do anything.
Right. And realizing that maybe showing up again is probably the most dangerous or or forceful thing, a powerful thing we can do in a situation is showing up. I heard another podcast recently where a pastor was being interviewed and he says, at this time in my life, nobody's listening to my sermons, but everybody's watching my life. And I thought, yeah, you know, like they're looking for who we are in reality. And while someone may approach you or I because of something we were part of in a church, that might open the door. It's really the presence in their life that will have the lasting effect, I think. And that really was one of the big messages of your book, I think. There's another statement in the book I want to bring up. You said, your table is expressed through who you are and what you do. The table is not a place. It's your way of life. Can you maybe speak to some of the tables that people think can't be used by God? You know, when I read that statement, I had this picture of, you know, taking around this little fold-up table and going different places and setting it up. But I know the metaphor you're using as a table is that everyone has something to give where they can be hospitable, where they can extend the love of Christ, where they can welcome people in. But why don't you call to life some things that people are might be listening right now and go, yeah, but I only do this, or I'm only this. I only stay at home and take care of my kids, or I'm only a junior person at my law firm or wherever I'm working. I'm just a laborer. I'm just a student. Why don't you call to life some of those things and speak into that?
I'll first quote Jesus, stop making it about you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. During COVID, met new neighbors, and our table was walking, meeting someone who lives right on Lake Ontario, an iconic house. You walk with them and you find all the pain in their life.
Yeah.
So the table is on the walks. The table is at McDonald's, just down the street from this church.
Sure.
What makes the other person feel more comfortable if you can?
Right.
I have a cousin and the table will end up every time being, oh, he's waiting for you in the bar. And I'm going, the bar again.
Yeah.
Not my comfort zone
sure,
at all,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the table at times for me is my backyard. And it can be able at a hospital bed or a drug rehab is right down the street from this church.
Wow.
So it's when it's who you are, not what you do. And there's a difference between hosting and the gift of hospitality. And that's where I think right away we think hospitality and right away, how are we going to host?
Sure.
That's not what God's concerned about. Hospitality transcends all of that.
Sure. Yeah, it's extension of kindness to someone in whatever situation you're in. Absolutely. As we wrap up here, Sue, I love the analogy you used at the end of the book where you talked about the Christian life in terms of baking versus cooking. Could you explain that to our listeners as we're wrapping up today? What would you how would you describe the difference there between baking and cooking when you're talking about the Christian life?
The mistake we made years ago with all of our evangelism training is we set it up like baking. So the difference between baking and cooking is that baking is a science. It's precise. You don't get to throw things around. Hence, I don't like baking.
Yes.
Not my kind of personality.
Yeah.
But let's get away from if you do A plus B, you will get C. Mm. That is not the kingdom. Mm-hmm. That's not even how things worked out in Christ's life.
Sure.
But I say evangelism and our lifestyle is more like cooking. Mm-hmm. So you put things in, you're salt in the mix. Mm-hmm. We are to be salt. Salt doesn't work until it disappears.
Sure.
Salt doesn't work unless it's immersed. And so you can do A plus B, you can do all the right things, and 5 years later, you may not have the result that really you should have had because you followed all the rules. So it's a different analogy, but we pour in, and then we leave the rest to the Holy Spirit. It's not a baking formula, so quit looking for the results in a certain pattern of time.
Well, Sue, I have really appreciated you coming and spending some time talking about the book and your life and your ministry. I know that we will make available on our church website and at our Timber Books and Bistro. It's the information so that people can access the book and read it, because I think it would be a real asset to anybody's walk with God, especially if they feel that call to extend themselves or feel this challenge even as we're talking through embracing God and embracing even evangelism through hospitality. So thanks very much for joining us, and we really appreciate it.
Great to be here.
It's been a great discussion with Susan, talking about her book and the issues around hospitality and the power of hospitality in the life of a believer. Again, if you'd like to pick up Susan's book, you can go to www.aplaceatmytable.ca and you can order it from there. It's a great book, great resource. I've really enjoyed reading it, and I think you will too. If you're around Broadway Church, you'll find copies of this book at Timber Books and Bistro. Thanks so much for being part of the Broadway Church Leadership Podcast this month. Big thanks to Grant McAllister, our audio technician, and he also wrote the cool jingle you'll hear at the beginning and the end of the podcast. We do this podcast because when it comes to leadership, that'll do just won't do. See you again next month.